Welcome to The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. My name's Graham. I'll be your host. This is a live call-in show. We will be playing a pre-taped interview today. And it being our pledge drive, I know you're eager to call and make a pledge. But let's save the calls for after 10 o'clock when staff is ready to answer the phone and we're not using it for phone patching into the studio here. The number is 503-325-0010. And we're looking forward to hearing from you. We do have a call already, so why don't we just bring Jim on the phone. Hey, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Graham.
Good morning. What's happening?
Well, you know, I was a 13-year-old little 4-H kid in the day, and I remember going to Clark County Fair and staying overnight with my Holstein calf and running wild as soon as the thing kind of shut down, and we were learning how to smoke cigarettes back then, of course. And a thing that I remember almost implicitly is the fact that Clark County Fair used to be in tents, and now it's this huge conglomerate of exhibit center and all that stuff. Back then, they were all in tents, and the thing I really remember is there was a brand-new half-ton Chevy pickup for sale that was for $1,800.
Wow.
That was it. And everything else was just a blur of, you know, me being a 13-year-old kid running wild.
Well,
that's pretty much it, Graham.
Okay. Well, thanks for the call, Jim.
You bet.
Thanks
Take
for getting us
now.
Started. Cheers.
Bye-bye.
503-325-0010. Share your stories about 4-H. What is 4-H? It's a community for all kids. 4-H believes in the power of young people. They see that every child has valuable strengths and real influence to improve the world around us. 4-H is delivered by Cooperative Extension, a community of more than 100 public universities across the nation that provides experiences where young people learn by doing. For more than 100 years, 4-H has welcomed young people of all beliefs and backgrounds, giving kids a voice to express who they are and how they make their lives and communities better. Through life-changing 4-H programs, nearly 6 million kids and teens have taken on critical societal issues, such as addressing community health inequities, engaging in civil discourse, and advocating for equity and inclusion for all. It's fantastic. So of these nearly 6 million total participants, 1.8 million have been in urban areas, 1.6 million in suburban areas, and 2.6 million in rural areas. So they complete hands-on projects, work with agriculture, education, after-school programs, community clubs. That's a little bit about 4-H. And so I'm going to turn it over now to our rock star intern astronomist, Ray, who checked out a remote recording unit and did interviews with the nominees to speak at 4-H National Congress. So the interview that we're going to play this morning is with a young person named Tully, and I'll let astronomists take it from here. This is close to 20 minutes, so it's going to be much of the show, but like I said, when this wraps up, we can talk a little bit more about 4-H and the effect that it's had on you or someone you know. Thanks for listening to The Conversation. Here's astronomists and Tully.
Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today I'm here with my guest, Tully, from 4-H. Tully, how are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well, astronomist. Thank you.
Now, Tully, I'm very excited to have you on the show and getting interviewed, but I'm sure you're very excited yourself as you were recently selected to be interviewed for National Congress.
Quite excited. It should be a lot of fun.
Yes. So what's the process like of going to interview for Congress? Is there applications you need to fill out?
So the first steps for applying to go to National 4-H Congress is you need to get together a 3 to 4 page story, a few photos, and then your record books have to be made tip-top condition, which is not the most pleasant process, but not too arduous. And then once you get all of that together, you send it in right at the end of February, if memory serves, and it's looked over, and then they decide who they want to interview. And then later, you get an interview at, theoretically, summer conference. In our case, it was over Zoom because the world's a little different at the moment. And once you're at the interviews, you they talk to us a bit as a group, since we're all there in one big video chat. And they break us off at sets of 5, I believe. I think there's 15 applicants they chose to interview. And interviewed us one at a time, with 2 to 3 people would interview at once. And you got to do that 3 times.
So when you're putting together all your information, What is it like to reflect back on your 4-H years? Because how many years have you been a part of 4-H?
This would be my seventh.
Seventh. And so in those 7 years, what clubs or activities have you been a part of?
So I haven't actually been in that many clubs. I'm still in the 4-H Leadership Club, and GVL, or Grasshopper Valley Livestock, was my first club I joined. Activities has been a slightly larger list. My first years were not too active, mostly worried about hall exhibits and chickens. But after that, particularly after I joined the Leadership Club, I got more involved in a lot of things. The lock-ins that are kind of little short, not quite a day camp, a little more than that, but pretty much a day camp, and some other things like that.
So how do you think that getting involved in all these activities help you grow as a person? Like, have you seen any improvement within yourself being in the Leadership Club or the Livestock Valley?
Definitely. I mean, there's some things that aren't necessarily the most practical for my life, like me to tell you the parts of a bird wing, but there's also been some more widely usable help, like public speaking is a big one I was helped with. Teamwork is quite helpful. And organization. One cannot forget organization and planning. Those are definitely skills that 4-H has improved in me.
Uh-huh. And now, about your public speaking roles, I've seen you be the MC at the banquet. So has there been any other public speaking roles that you did? Like, was there a world conference?
There's been a couple public speaking roles I've been in. I think so far, my favorite public speaking I've ever done was actually a class on public speaking, and we got all the kids to do tongue twisters into a microphone for etiquette with microphones. That was quite amusing.
And when you first began 4-H, did you know that you were going to like start teaching and doing all these things? Or what were you feeling as you were going through the process of like teaching a class or teaching at the Super Saturday? What was going through your mind?
I had actually done just a little bit of teaching before I got in 4-H, spinning and beginner weaving, I believe. But 4-H definitely helped me find more opportunities to do it, because it's something I've always loved doing, is helping show people how to do something or another.
And so as far as your activities go, how has everything, you know, changed from when you first began 4-H? Like, is there more things that you picked up on? Or is there more things that interest you within 4-H that you're looking to take on?
I definitely would say things have expanded since I first joined. I kind of first joined with weaving as a thing, and then everything else is kind of might as well do that as well. And I've definitely focused more on those and gotten better at them. And then the activities, I've definitely expanded, working on helping plan retreats and events and that sort of thing, and caroling and all of the other joys you can get yourself into.
And now going back to National Congress, when you go to National Congress, what is involved in that?
So what has traditionally been involved, we aren't quite sure if it'll happen this year, but if not, there's next year, which we'll go to. What has been speakers, they've typically brought in several speakers to do conferences, some community service. I believe we've often worked at schools, and really just trying to make the best of the leaders of the different states they can and help us both kind of get a view into how 4-H works around the country and also really get to know the other passionate youth from our own state.
Yes, and your leadership involvement in the community as well, because I know that you were, was it on the World Board?
Yes, I was on the World Board earlier this year I was on the World Board.
And what was that experience like? Was this your first time being on the World Board?
This was actually not only my first time being on the World Board, this was my first time going to World. Was slightly a strange experience is that I hadn't really been together. But yes, we got together, a group of kids from around the state, in late November. And we planned out everything that was going to happen in the 3 days, I believe, we got to plan.
Oh, and just for the audience and listeners, World is a Western Oregon Regional Leadership Retreat that is in the Salem State Capitol. Anyways, that must have been really fun for you doing that.
Oh, I think it was definitely in the top 10 4-H experiences mm-hmm. I've had.
Oh, yeah. So how do you think 4-H can help prepare you for college, like in the future, or anything that you plan to do in the future, you know? Because there's obviously the process of you getting your record books together and then also going on an interview for your Congress. So how do you think this sort of helps you prepare for your future?
So as you brought our attention to, there is the less glamorous side of preparation, which has definitely gotten me better with getting things ready for deadlines and dealing with paperwork and all of that and keeping good records of things. It also has the helpful of helping you do interviews and like that. I've done quite a few of those to help me get more comfortable with talking to people, though not sure how that's going, but I think it's going okay. And it also, honestly, has helped giving me a bit of a resume to pull out for various applications and college and scholarships, of a good record of what all I've done and what I want to remind them of what I've been working on for the past.
And do you have an idea of what you'd like to do in your future?
Yes, I am currently hoping to try either going into something to do with psychology or possibly teaching, but we'll see. I have a few years to change my mind yet.
So, in your opinion, do you feel like your confidence level has changed through 4-H? Like, do you feel more confident when people ask you to do something that involves teaching or public speaking, or even something that maybe is out of your comfort zone? Do you feel more confident in...
Definitely, yes. I think particularly when I was younger, I was very terrified of getting anything wrong, so I was not necessarily the most outgoing child, you can imagine, particularly when I was around 11 and 12 in that kind of age range.
And at FAIR, what is it that your projects are? I forgot to ask, what projects do you show at FAIR? Do you do hall exhibits such as artwork, or do you do animals?
So my main things I've done in 4-H when it comes to entering things, particularly in FAIR, have been showing chickens, poultry, mostly golden zebrites, though I did show a few crossbreds in the beginning. And then in the hall, I have showed weaving, food preservation, foods and nutrition, and horticulture. Almost every year I've shown. And then I think there's been one or two things that have been thrown in there. Oh, I almost forgot. Flower arranging. I've done that every year so far.
Oh, very nice. I remember you doing the flower arranging. So how do these skills sort of help you learn stuff about yourself? Because obviously you take care of an animal and you have to do this and you have to maybe like sort of commit to the animal. So how do you think this is going to help you in your future with like skills in life?
I think I've learned a couple lessons through what I've shown, including the important lesson, particularly once I started doing things like becoming a junior superintendent, is to make sure when you're volunteering for things that they don't all line up. Because I believe last year, a year before that, I signed up to be the junior superintendent for poultry and horticulture, both of which had one of their major things they wanted help with on the same day, Tuesday, what was flower arranging and poultry showmanship. So I was trying to help everything there go smoothly and actually participate in both activities. So that was a little reminder to spread out what you have planned and not bunch it all up.
Mm-hmm. And now, if I remember correctly, you applied to be a state ambassador. What is the process of that?
So that one, if I remember correctly, is similar to applying for National Congress, but just a little less extreme in what you need to get together. You have some writing, it was quite fun, some questions they want to know about you, and then you have to enter your record book, what has to be done, and then you get interviewed, but only once for state ambassadors. And if you're selected, you go to meetings. I believe traditionally they have been held once a month, but currently we're having them once a week since no one has to travel for the meetings, since we're not really allowed to gather in groups in person. So over the worlds of computers.
Well, thank you so much, Tully, for coming in today and talking about your 4-H experience as well as the National Congress process. So now Tully will be going off to National Congress next year due to the COVID-19. And I know you're going to have an amazing time over there. And thank you all so much for listening. I'm Astronomous Ray, and that was your Clatsop County 4-H National Congress representative, Tully.
You're listening to The Conversation. It's 9:51. We've got a few minutes left in the show. Does anyone out there have any stories or memories from being in 4-H or participating? Or does anyone have any kids, grandkids, acquaintances, neighbors who've participated? What did you learn? What did you get out of it? We'd like to hear from you. 503-325-0010. We do have our first caller, our second caller, technically. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, great show, Graham. This is one of my best parts of Friday, listening to the broad range of things you discuss. the only thing I can... I was never a member of 4-H, but we used to go to the Western Washington Fair in Puyallup, Washington, just about every year. One of our favorite things to do was go visit the kids at 4-H. And I'll tell you, they were very, they were really well put together people. They had a mission, and even though some of these animals they were raising were going to wind up being food, they cared for them in the most kind way. And there was goats and chickens and horses and dogs, and they would just be attending to these animals in the kindest way. Anyhow. What was I going to say? Oh, no, I don't think any of them smoke cigarettes.
Well, except for maybe Jim, right?
Who knows?
But yeah, it seems like a really neat organization. It's not something that was on my radar when I was a kid, but I have several cousins who are very involved with it, and I know it was a really big part of their lives, and I think they're still involved with livestock and stuff.
Yeah, well, I had the opportunity to work for veterinarians, and one veterinarian and I worked for, we also did large animal. So I had some experience with farm animals, including being mowed down by a billy goat. But
they can be aggressive.
They can be really aggressive. It's a funny story. But I really enjoy the show. You really do a service to the community with a broad range of stuff you do. Anyhow, that's all I can add. And okay.
Well, thanks for the call, and have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I mentioned at the top of the show that we have just started our fall pledge drive, and so you know what that means. KMUN, KTCB, KCPB, the stations of Coast Community Radio, are listener-supported. And so if you can dig deep into those pockets and find a little bit of change to send our way to keep us on the air, this is a pretty cool service to the community, and I'm very fortunate to be a part of it and get to do what I do. And more on that in a minute, because we've got a call. Hi, good morning.
Hey, Graham, this is Ed.
Ed, how are you?
Peachy. Yeah, I'll give you a different perspective.
Okay.
Yeah, many years ago now, 40-some-odd years ago, I was an extension advisor in California in the Bay Area. And our approach there was we had clubs in San Francisco. We had them all up and down the peninsula. And the kids that lived in high-rise apartments and stuff, we had community farms.
Wow.
Yeah, right along the freeway.
That's cool.
Yeah, so these kids would come down in the morning, do their chores, come down in the evening, do them again, you know, and do everything at the fair just like they do here. But they were totally suburbanites. So it was a whole different approach, and it worked out great.
Can I ask you how productive those gardens were?
They were very productive. No, it was really good.
I'd like to think that they are. That's great.
Yeah. You know, it gave city kids a chance to get involved. And in San Francisco, it was more outdoor adventure kind of stuff, you know, like taking them out into the Sierras for week-long hiking trips and stuff.
Well, I've talked before about the importance of a good food supply. And and I think that knowing where your food comes from and what it takes to get it is a really valuable life lesson.
Yeah. And I think 4-H is just an amazing program that, you know, really does introduce, not just like here in Clatsop County where kids live in Brownsville and Jewel and, you know, in some in cities, but, you know, it's a great adventure program. It could be, I'm sure it's in New York City as well as out in rural areas.
It sounds like there's a lot of different things you can get involved in.
There sure is.
It's good to have your interests cultivated at that age.
Yep. That's my piece for the day.
Thanks, Ed.
Great.
Take care.
You bet. Bye.
And we've got another caller. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandra Carlson. Am I on the air?
Yeah, but you're a little hard to hear. I think we might have a bad connection.
Okay, I think I'm going to try to call back.
Okay, go ahead and call back. We're getting to the top of the hour, and I was mentioning our fall pledge drive. We're going to run a quiet drive like we did in the spring, which means you won't hear on-air pitching, and it won't be a fevered pitch to get everything raised, you know, our $50,000 goal in just a few days. We're going to take our time. We think it might take 4 to 6 weeks. But as soon as we do hit that $50,000 goal, we will start pulling those asks out of the station IDs, and we'll move on with our lives. Okay, you're back on the air. Hey, how do you sound now?
I think I sound good. Is it?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Go ahead.
So I'm Sandra Carlson, and I'm the 4-H coordinator here in Clatsop County.
Well, hello, Sandra.
Hello, and I just wanted to say shout out to Tully for the great job in making it to nationals. He's quite a young man, so we're very proud of him.
Yeah, he seems like a very fun and just an engaged young individual.
Yeah, we try to keep the kids engaged in their projects. It's been a little challenging this year with COVID, of course, as everyone knows, and trying to do some remote things. But hopefully soon we'll be able to get groups back together in a modified version and move forward. So the recruitment time for us is about now. We start our new clubs in October, and if anyone is interested in joining, they can call the extension office, and I can give you that number. It's 503-325-8573. And we're basically, I don't know if everybody knows what 4-H is, but we are volunteer-based. So we have about 150 volunteers in our county and about 400 kids in our program. And so we're always looking for volunteers to help work with the kids as well.
And so you gave out a phone number. Is there an email address as well that's a good way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, my email is sandra.carlson, C-A-R-L-S-O-N, at Oregon State, all written out altogether, .edu.
Sandra.carlson at OregonState.edu.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks for the work that you're doing, and I hope that things go as well as they possibly can this next year with all of the modifications that you're going to have to put in place.
Yeah, it is challenging, as everyone is dealing with the challenges with things right now, and we appreciate everybody being patient and helping us work through it as best we can.
Patience is a virtue.
It is.
Well, thanks for the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that wraps up the conversation today. Thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks to Astronomus and Tully for the interview. And like I mentioned, the podcast of this will be available online shortly after the show today. Our operations person, Nevada, will get that loaded to the internet. And I'll make sure he has the correct interview file so that we don't hear some of those edit points that Astronomus had already taken care of. She's a fine engineer and editor. And it was just a miscommunication on my part. So again, I apologize. But thanks to everyone who tuned in today, and stay tuned to Coast Community Radio. I think I've got enough time to make a quick announcement about a programming change that's going to be happening. I appreciate so much that you've been listening to the conversation on Friday mornings at 9:30. And so I hope this isn't too challenging for you, but we're going to change the day of the show. And part of the reason for that is that we've been getting requests to go to a longer format. I don't know if you've noticed it as well, but it seems like the show and the calls really start to get momentum about 25 minutes into the show, and then we have to wrap it up. And so we've heard from so many folks that they'd like to hear the show go to an hour that we're going to move it to Wednesdays. So it's going to be kind of a little bit of a shuffle, and this is going to take place mid-September. And don't worry, Talk of Our Towns is not going away. Bioneers is not going away. We're just going to move some things around a bit, and Talk of Our Towns will not be weekly anymore, but we certainly look forward to more shows from Donna Quinn.